Praise God. We have been, I guess you could say we've been having a section of series on all kinds of things. I mean, God has just been bringing up many powerful things for in preparation, because we are in a new season, and this new season is a season of power and prosperity. Power and prosperity. And in this season, the most important thing that you and I need to be involved in is positioned. And positioning, of course, means denying yourself. Hello. And I think that's one of the hardest things that a believer has to struggle with, is denying himself, because he's always involved in reasoning. And reasoning is a guillotine of faith. Once you begin to reason, faith has dropped off, then you go into the carnal arena, and that's where the devil meets you and eats you. Hello. You know what snakes love? They eat dirt, don't they? They eat dust. When the Lord cursed the serpent, what did he do? He said, from this day forth, you what? Eat dirt. Eat dust. You know, we're made of dust, aren't we? Amen. But see, an eagle's delicacy is a snake. And the Bible says that you and I should be like eagles. So your delicacy should be kicking the butt on the devil. You want entertainment? Go find a devil and kick his butt. Amen? That's entertainment. Hallelujah. Nothing greater than casting a devil out of somebody, especially out of yourself. Hallelujah. So in this new season that we're in, there is a place of position where God is putting each and every one. And in this place of position, he begins to establish something. See, the Bible says that you and I have been predestined. Predestined. And predestined is a form of having everything available for you. We talked about this before. When you're predestined, and many of us have seen Matrix and stuff like that, you know, when they put in the tape and they wanted to learn how to fly, they just put the tape in and they were flying a helicopter. Well, when they wanted to be armed with stuff, they put the tape in and there was a whole armory of everything they needed. In other words, everything is supplied to you. Everything is available to you as a predestined child of God Almighty. Is everybody with me? And what's the purpose of it? To fulfill your calling. Now listen, as God predestines you, your predestined purpose, God begins to give you a vision. He begins to allow you to see something. And when you begin to see, seeing is a representation of your purpose. So as you begin to see things, then God begins to prepare you. He begins to position you. He begins to deal with you. He begins to expose you. Why? Because you begin to see what you're supposed to do. Now, your calling is your function in the body of Christ. So you're predestined with a vision to fulfill your calling. Is everybody with me? And we talked about your calling. And we started that last Tuesday, but we didn't get too far. Hallelujah. So I want to be able to finish that up tonight about your calling. Now your calling means that you are functioning in the body of Christ, following or fulfilling the purpose of your vision, which has been predestined for you, which makes everything available for you. Now, let me share this with you, that probably 60 to 70% of the body of Christ is not walking in their calling. Hello. And that was easy. Because too many people are trying to walk in somebody else's calling instead of their own. Or too many people are too busy, caught up in the affairs of the world, and they can't walk in the fullness of their calling. Is everybody with me? See, so many people are trying to run from their calling, and the reason why they run, and they don't even know they're running from their calling. Sometimes the devil will give an individual a false vision, and they begin to chase the vision instead of the Lord. Then they think that they're functioning in their calling because they're chasing a vision, but they're really not. Oh, yes, I'm functioning in my, well, functioning means operation of your calling. If you are operating in your calling, then you are functioning in the body of Christ. If you are not operating in your calling and you're chasing the vision, then you're out of line. And you're out of God's divine order, you're out of God's divine timing, and you're out of God's divine will. And one of the things he's trying to do is get his children to get back into divine position to fulfill their calling, which is their function in the body of Christ. Is everybody with me? Turn to Revelation 2. Thank you, Lord. You know, there are many believers that will be believing for 20 or 30 years. They'll die and go to heaven and never fulfill their calling. They're too busy trying to keep their pew warm. They're too busy and caught up in the world and the affairs, trying to build their own empire. They're too busy trying to raise families. Now, there's nothing wrong with raising a family, is there? But there are certain levels of your calling, too. Once you begin to operate and function in your calling, you'll find out that God begins to utilize you. See, because once you are operating in your function and your calling, you're able to go to different places and take that function with you. And as God begins to see and you earn God's trust, that he can trust you in that function and operating of your calling, he begins to bring you to another level. Is everybody with me? But if you're not faithful what his little, he knows you won't be faithful for what is bigger. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Turn to Revelation in chapter 2. Is everybody there? Can everybody hear me? Praise God, I can hear myself. Can we lower this just a little? Would you read starting at verse 1? To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand and who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your what? Works. So you see works, he's saying function. I know your functions. In other words, somebody's functioning. They're operating, aren't they? But see, the thing is you're going to see that he's going to tell them that you're not operating in your calling. Watch. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. That's like saying, I'm a believer. But the word believe means to follow. So if you're not a follower, you're a liar. It's real simple. You can't serve the devil and Jesus at the same time. Amen? So if you're not following the Lord, then you're following the devil. Amen? And you have persevered and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Wow, that sounds like a wonderful church, doesn't it? Praise God. I mean, you know, it sounds like God's getting ready to bless their socks off. Amen? Hallelujah. He says this, nevertheless, I have what? This against you, that you have left your what? Your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, in other words, where you have departed, repent and do the what? The first works. In other words, get back into your calling. Or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you what? Repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to what? Eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now, understand this. He said, you've lost your first love. When you lose your first love, you lose your first works. Because to operate in the function of your calling, you must maintain a love affair with the King of Glory. Without the love affair of Jesus, you will not operate in your calling. Does everybody understand that? You may operate in knowledge, but you will not operate in spirit. Because to fulfill your calling, you must operate in the spirit, not in knowledge and not in flesh. That's why the Lord says, no flesh shall glory. No flesh shall glory. Amen? Now he says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And the word knowledge means truth. So there's an area where you have to have knowledge, but knowledge is not going to lead you, the Spirit will. Knowledge is what's going to keep you, which are borderlines. They're like fences. Knowledge is like fences. So what's now is knowledge is light, it exposes darkness. So you're walking, right? Knowledge is like the tutor. It's like the letter. Knowledge is the tutor. It says these two fences are here. Here's your knowledge. You're going to walk in between them. That's what keeps you, doesn't it? Keeps you in. Your knowledge, the knowledge of the truth, the knowledge of God, the knowledge of God's ways. All of those are going to keep you like a guided fence, like a tutor. But the Spirit is going to lead you. See, when you begin to walk in the Spirit and you are led by the Spirit, these fences begin to come down. And then you're able to go into other places you've never done before. You go into places you've never thought you would ever go before. Does everybody understand that? This is where children of God begin to grow into the Spirit. Because they're not led now by or kept by knowledge. They're now kept by the presence of God. There's a difference. So for you to fulfill your function and the operation of your calling that God has predestined you to, it must be done in the Spirit and not in knowledge or in the flesh. Is everybody with me? So what happened to this church is he said, listen, I see all these good works. I see all of these wonderful things you're doing, but you're not functioning according to what I predestined you to function. This is where the Bible says, you know, in the body of Christ, there are many members. Some are the hands, the feet, the mouth, and so forth. If everybody's trying to be the feet, no one's going to speak. And they're going to stink anyways. If everybody's trying to be the hands, then where are they going to walk to? Amen? So there are different functions of the body of Christ. And in the body of Christ, God places us positionally in a specific fellowship to fulfill a specific function. Does everybody understand that? Once you inherit this function, this calling, which has been predestined for you by God. Because did you ever notice that when you go from one place to another, finally you get to a place and you go, what? I don't know what's what, but this is my home. This is where I'm supposed to be. I mean, I've been here, I've been there, I've been everywhere, but you know what? You know, see, God has been moving you. He's been molding you. He's been melting you. And you know, he's been poking you. You know, a shepherd has the goad, you know, and the stick and pokes the sheep to get into the flock. You know, and some of us had to go through hurts and wounds and actually get dragged through the bushes to finally get in a place where God wanted us to go. Hello. Amen. And then when we get there, we're like, man, whew, I don't know what. It's something you can't figure out. And it's not like God said, this is where I want you to go. See, there's a place in your spirit where you have a witness like, you know what? This is where I'm supposed to be. Now, it may be for a season. It may be for a period of time. You might not know. It may be permanent. You don't know. And it's not for you to know. But remember, you'll know when it's time to move on is when you're sent. Not when you're offended. Hello. See, the devil loves to offend and get people offended. The only reason why people get offended is because they're so filled with pride. Man, I ain't doing it. I ain't taking that. Oh, you little prideful religious spirit, you. The Bible says, submit to God, then resist the devil. Not try to resist the devil and submit to God because you can't. Hello. Oh, hallelujah. We better go on. We'll be here all night on this. Praise God. Go to Romans 11. Romans 11. Thank you, Master. Hallelujah. Do you know what such and such said about me? Was it true? Hello. Majority of the time it is. Praise God. It's a good night to what?
Die.
Hallelujah. Death is a wonderful place. Welcome to the house of death.
Amen.
Believe me, your garbage will be exposed. Dirty laundry. That's what we call it, right? Dirty laundry. Quit trying to clean someone else's laundry and clean your own. Hallelujah. Praise God. In Romans 11 and verse 29, would you read it with me? For the gifts and the calling of God are what? Irrevocable. Say it with me. For the gifts and the calling of God are what? Irrevocable. Now let me share with you. With your calling, with your function, in the operation of your calling in the body of Christ, you will be gifted to fulfill it. Does everybody understand it? Now, it's not just... No, don't get granola on me, okay? Listen, it's not just about spiritual gifts. It's about talents. It's about abilities that God has predestined and gifted you with. Amen? Look at Jesus. He was gifted to be a carpenter. Amen? He was a carpenter. See, but he was actually fulfilling his function, wasn't he? God sent Jesus into the world. He's God. And he became a carpenter. Well, at that period of time, carpenters were well known. Everybody needed a carpenter. Things haven't changed. So, you know, for furniture, and I mean, now we got all of these machines that punch this out. They got plastic furniture. At that period of time, all the furniture was wood. So they needed a carpenter if they wanted to sit down somewhere. Amen? The beds were wood. Everything was wood. But Jesus began to operate in his function because he was talented. As he continued and was faithful with that, he was given another level of his function. Amen? A carpenter is something that builds. Jesus was the builder of the house of God. And he started off as a carpenter. Then he got into the spirit and began to build the house of God spiritually. Does everybody understand that? Oh, hallelujah. So see, there are gifts that are established with your calling, whatever it may be. It doesn't matter. But the purpose of your calling, okay, is to bring glory to God, expand the kingdom of God, and rescue souls. Amen? That's what everybody's purpose is. Now, there may be a different function, isn't there, of how it's going to be done. There are people who are sailing on the sea. I knew a guy that would get in his boat, and he'd go out and preach to all the people that were out there skiing and drinking and everything else and partying. That's what he believed his function was. There are TV evangelists. That's what their function is to reach people on TV. Look at Joyce Myers. Her function is to do teachings and sell tapes. But she travels all over. She fulfills the office of teacher and evangelist, doesn't she? Amen? She's not pastoring a church, but she's fulfilling two other offices. Why? And God has gifted her with that. That gift of teaching. Amen? So these are things that God wants us to be able to understand, that we have been predestined to fulfill a part of the body of Christ in functioning according to the vision and according to your calling. Amen? Hallelujah. Is everybody okay?
Amen.
Praise God. Okay, Matthew 2. So if you've been predestined, is everything available for you? Amen. Everything is available for you. Matthew chapter 2. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 7. Is everybody there? It says, then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. Now these guys appeared, came to him looking for Jesus. And he sent him to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. Now, Jesus was, you know, did you ever see those mangers out there? It's got these wise men around this little bed, whatever, you know. And there's Jesus in this thing, and he can't do anything, you know. He's goo-goo gaga. And these wise men come over, and they lay all this stuff down at him. And well, let me share something with you that's not true. Jesus was not a baby when the wise men came. In fact, he was around 2 years old. Because that's when Herod said, oh, I want to kill all the children that are 2 years under. Amen? Okay. So it says here, child. That means he wasn't a baby. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go, search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. Well, he's a liar because he was just trying to kill him, wasn't he? When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. Now, they weren't in the house then, right? He was in a manger, wasn't he? I mean, he was in a stable. Amen? When he was born. So we know that the wise men didn't go to no stable. They went to their house. Hello. Okay. Glory to God. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. So listen, even Jesus was brought gifts in preparation for his ministry. Do you understand it? Now, Mom, the Bible says that Mary hid many things in her heart that the angels who visit her would tell her about her son and things to come. So she hid many things in her heart, and as Jesus got older and older, she was prepared for what was going to happen. Let me give you an example. When Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit and went to the wedding, right, and Mary went up to Jesus because they ran out of wine. Of course, he was the new wine. He said, son, they ran out of wine. And he looked at her and said, woman, what's that got to do with me? When she heard woman, not mother, please go to 7-Eleven and buy some more. He said, woman. When he said woman to her, she said, woo-hoo. She ran to the disciples and said, whatever he says, do it. Because she realized that that was no longer her son. That was God. Amen? But these things were hidden in her heart. She was waiting for these moments. She didn't know when it was going to happen. But here, the first miracle to take water and turn it into wine. She knew that wasn't her son no more. She knew it was her God. Amen. But see, prior to that, Mary held on to these gifts. What was it for? His ministry. So everybody got it? All the wealth and everything was prepared for him. See, if God sends you, he prepares you. See, when people got to struggle to try and get their stuff to do whatever, then that's not God's call. Because he supplies and prepares everything for you to fulfill his ministry through you, not your ministry through him. Amen. That's where people get led astray because they're not functioning in the operation of their calling. They're functioning in the operation of their desire. Amen. And they've lost their first love. So now their desires, no longer the desires of the Lord, they're the desires of self, which is leading people astray. Hallelujah. Okay. Go to Matthew 25. Is everybody all right? Are you getting this? Oh, to God be the glory. Hallelujah. Matthew 25. Thank you. In verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each one according to his what? Ability. God will never give you more than you can handle, even though sometimes it feels like it. Oh, man, I don't know if I can handle this, Lord. Praise God, you can't. That's why I'm God and you're not. Amen? Lord, I don't know how I'm going to be able to handle all of this. This is way over my head. Good. Finally, you're out of the way. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay here? Are you ready? Come on. In verse 16, then he who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also, but he who had received 1 went and dug it in the ground and hid his Lord's money. In other words, did not function in the operation that God had called him to and according to the talent or ability God had granted him. What did he do? Now, I know this is talking about money here, but I'm talking about abilities and talents, because it represents it also. He wasn't what? Buried it. He became a couch potato. Oh, he went to church. He paid his tithe. Did a few hallelujahs. Did a little Holy Ghost shuffle. Waved to God every once in a while. But he never fulfilled his calling. Thought he was religious because he didn't use drugs anymore. Felt and believed that he was always saved, so he didn't have anything to worry about. Didn't realize that who you serve when you die is where you go. Associated with the spirit of error and the spirit of religion that always kept them out of the operation and the function of their full calling. No vision was ever established. Why? Because too much self was in there. Never came to a place to learn how to deny self, but promote it. Hi, I'm a believer. Look at I drive. God's blessed me. Oh, wonderful. Yes, my payment's only $6,000 a month, and I'm blessed. Oh. Now, God doesn't put you in debt, does he? Hallelujah. Okay, let's go a little further. Hallelujah. In verse 20, so he had received 5 talents, came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents, and so forth. So we know that the one who got 5 returned 5. And his Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter in the joy of your Lord. And he also had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more. And he also said the same thing in verse 24. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you'd be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was a what? Afraid. Fear will always move you out of position. Now, the reason why people have fear is because too much self. Hello? They're afraid that somebody might find out. They're afraid of something they might lose. This man operated in fear of afraid what he might lose. Praise God, the only thing you can lose is your life. And that's what God's trying to get us to. So that you lose your life and gain the life of Christ. And went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. How about picking your Bible up and reading with me? But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. Hello. Say it with me. You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be what? Taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant in the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of what? Of teeth. So he's saying, listen, this is where many people think, well, you know, I can just do what I want to do. But the Bible says that those who are doing the will of God will enter in, not those who are not doing the will of God. That's why it's important to know what your calling is and your function in the body of Christ. That's why it's important to seek the Lord and to know and to have a love affair. Listen, he went around. He went around and he said, listen, follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Deny yourself and follow me. Deny yourself and follow me. Deny yourself and follow me. He told that to everyone and everywhere he went. Deny yourself and follow me. Deny yourself. Why? Because he wanted to impart their predestined purpose, their predestined function. See if you're in a way. Hello. If you're in it, God's not. If he's in it, you're not. That's the beauty of it. Is everybody okay? Go to Matthew 7 while we're here. Matthew 7. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Matthew 7 and 21. Would you read it with me? Is everybody there? Oh, hallelujah. Matthew 7 and 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Come on, read that again. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So that means you better be doing the will of God and not your own will. Not everyone is going to stand before God and say, oh, Lord, hey, praise God, I made it home. He said, nope. You didn't do my will. You practice lawlessness. I don't know who you are. Depart from me. Hey, God is a merciful God. But for much is given, much is required. You were not rescued to have a life. You were rescued to give your life. Come on, say it. I was not rescued to have a life. I was rescued to give my life. Good. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many works and wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. It's pretty wild, isn't it? See, they were operating in their own desires. They're operating in the flesh. They're operating in what they wanted and not what God wanted. And let me share something with you. By operating in the flesh, it opens the door to all kinds of demonic activity where you begin to lie, compromise, justify, separate yourself. Not run to God, but run from him. Fraternize. People fall into fornication. People become codependent on spouses and individuals and become soul ties. People become independent with the spirit of independence, which is prideful, thinking they can do anything they want and say anything they want. But they have no idea that God has recorded every single thing. They have no reverence or fear of God. The only thing they fear is getting cheated on their paycheck. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Remember, God has gifted us with these talents and operated in the fullness of your calling and a function that is predestined for you. You know, there are football players and basketball players and doctors and all kinds of stuff. People go to college to learn things, and God turns things around. I had a guy that came through our discipleship program and so forth, and he stayed a while, and he was working with Covenant Builders, and he just kept being led to go to school and led to go to school. I just got an email from him a little while ago, and he talked about and just giving God glory and thanking him. God, he's in some other state now finishing off some college and getting a degree. But see, he's going to utilize his degree to infiltrate the world to bring the gospel to it. Do you understand? See, now he was able to get his vision and he began to operate according to his predestination that God had set for him. He knew he had to go to school. He didn't understand why. And he would come for counsel, and I'd say, man, you know, if God's telling you to go to school, then go to school. He said, you know, Pastor, I'm not meant to be a carpenter. But it was part of his training. Do you understand that? It wasn't his vision, but it's a part of his training so he can get into the operation. You know, look at Brother Joseph. Whoa, he went through, whew. I mean, he was sold out by his family, rebuked for his visions, right? Imprisoned, accused of fornication with his master's wife. When he didn't do anything, the man was innocent all the way. But he stood fast. He trusted God. He wasn't going to give up what God had showed him. He wasn't chasing the vision. He was holding on to the Lord. But the final result is God purposely positioned him so he can operate in his function. And what was he doing? He was rescuing the Jews because the famine would have wiped them out. Hello. Thank you, Lord. Go to 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. Let me share something with you. God will challenge you at certain times to see if you're really willing to operate in your calling. You will also be challenged while you're operating your calling because he'll want to expand the level of your calling. In verse 5, 1 John chapter 5, and 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. Is everybody there? Amen. Hallelujah. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we what? We lie and do not practice the truth. Let me tell you something. This scripture right here is so important. Because individuals are not practicing the truth. They're practicing what they feel. It'll move you right out of your destiny. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Wow. Walking in the light is fulfilling your calling. See, by practicing the truth, is everybody with me? First, you must know the truth to be able to practice it. There's a lot of people practicing what they believe, but it's not the truth. I used to smoke a lot of dope. I practiced it. I believed it. I believe God made dope and coca leaves. If He made marijuana, coca leaves, and poppy seeds, hallelujah. So, pop a few seeds, chew a few leaves, and I was gone. Didn't know when I'd land. Saw every demon in hell, possessed by almost every single one of them. But you know, God made cliffs and didn't tell me to jump off, right? See, I didn't know the truth. I was led by what I believed, but what I believed was not true. I was raised in religiosity. What I believed wasn't the truth, so I didn't get set free. Now, you may have the truth, but if you're not practicing the truth, that puts you even in more danger. More danger. Amen? Because truth is light, you must walk in light to fulfill your calling. Go to Isaiah 49. Hallelujah. Isaiah 49. Is everybody all right? I want to make sure you're still with me. If you feel something squiggling in you, it's a demon. You can't stand the truth. You can't sit still. You got a devil. Hello. No, don't force yourself and hold on to the table. I'm not going to let that devil. That's called management. Get rid of the thing. Hallelujah. Isaiah 49. Verses 1 through 4, would you read it with me? Listen, O coastlands, to me, and take heed, you people from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb. From the matrix of my mother, He has made mention of my name. And He has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of His hand, He has hidden me, and made me a polished shaft. In His quiver, He has hidden me. And I want you to understand something. You have been called. And working or walking and operating in your function, you become an arrow in God's quiver where He can use you whenever He needs to. A quiver is a representation, a thing that holds the arrows. Did you ever see Robin Hood? Amen. Steal from the rich and give to the poor and pocket part of it. He had his own tithe. And we all looked at him as a good man. Well, at least he stole from the rich. Hallelujah. Really, I watched those movies and I'd swing from tree to tree until I ran into cars and stuff like that and ended my career as Robin Hood. Jeremiah chapter 1. I tried to play Robin Hood as a drug dealer. Didn't work either. Ended my career behind bars. Praise God. That's when Jesus stepped in. He gave me a new quiver. Hallelujah. And Jeremiah chapter 1. See, God has called you in the womb of your mother already. Everything was available for you. Amen? Hallelujah. Jeremiah chapter 1, are you there? Read it. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, the king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of, you know, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Joaz, and so forth. How did I get to this? Jeremiah. Okay, verse 4. Are we there? Praise God. Aren't you glad we're not religious? Amazing. You know, it's amazing how they'd introduce, you know, hi, this is such and such, the son of such and such, the son of such and such. They must, when they introduced somebody, they were there for 2 days trying to get the person. They had to serve coffee and donuts to finally get to the dude's name. Hallelujah. In verse 4, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, and to destroy, to throw down, and to build, and to plant. That is walking in your calling. Does everybody understand it? That is walking in your calling, or functioning or operating in your calling. That's what you're to do. Hello? Praise God. Ephesians chapter 2. It's just for you. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
You're going to be thrown down. Everybody likes to throw down in the world. We'll throw down in the spirit. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his what? Workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works. Good works means functioning in God's perfectional calling of your life. What does that mean? You're functioning or operating in your calling. Good works are always a fruit or a sign of operating in your call. Does everybody understand that? Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Praise God. Good works. Go to 1 Corinthians 9. You know, now there may be a mother, but even a mother has a vision of operating in the body of Christ. Amen. You may be a father. You may be working. You may be a businessman. You may, you know what? Do you know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter what your the purpose is to expand the kingdom of God, bring glory to his name, and rescue souls, isn't it? Amen. And to disciple, be an example. Paul said, be an example. Imitate me. So whatever part of the function that you are operating in the body of Christ, again, there are talents associated with it, aren't they? Amen. So, you know, not everyone can be a mother. There are women that can raise children like, you know. And there are women that just don't want to raise children. There are women that are working women, but as you notice, your vision changes as you get closer to the Lord. Does everybody understand? You know how many people were, listen, I'm a career person. I'm working on a career. This is my career. I'm working on, and then you have an encounter with the Lord. They go, forget that career. I got a new vision. So not always is their career purpose associated with their operation of their calling. Sometimes God will sever that and bring them into a new place and give them another vision. A vision from Him and not a vision from the devil. Amen. And then God begins to train them up. Not that they, now listen, God can still use the things that they learned to operate in their function because they've gone through all of these talents. I was in the world as an entrepreneur. I used to own a manufacturing company and silk screen and antique limousines and all kinds of stuff. Of course, I was still dealing drugs. I was an entrepreneur. I knew all kinds of dope and all kinds of stuff. You know, I was an entrepreneur for the devil. Then I lost it all. But as God began to give me vision, I began to operate in my function, I began to counsel individuals for their businesses to operate in their function so that they could become wealthy, support the kingdom of God. Amen? And fulfill what God has called them to. I get calls all the time for people to come to council who own businesses. Because God has utilized that talent now that He imparted in me from my past life to help others. Remember Paul said, though I may be poor, but I make others rich. Amen. But the greatest richness is in the richness of the riches of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Where are we at? 1 Corinthians 9? Glory to God. In verse 19. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a what? Servant to all, that I might win the more. Oh, hallelujah. And to the Jews I became a what? Jew, that I might win Jews, to those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are what? Under the law. To those who are out without law, as without law, not being without law towards God, but under the law towards Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for what? The gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker of it with you. See, so Paul was operating in his function, in his calling. But see, his additional leveling of his calling was, okay, now Paul, you got this down. You're operating in your function. Now I want you to become this. What was he doing? He was taking his operation of his calling and going into another area. He was becoming many things. He didn't become those things and leave his operation. Is everybody with me? See, too many people get involved in things where God sends them, then they leave their operation out, and they get sucked up into the worldly effect. And they lose sight of their operation. See, God sent Paul because he earned his trust. He was bringing him to another level of his operation. Now he began to send him to places. And Paul began to infiltrate and declare the gospel. To infiltrate. You know, we're doing our first biker outreach. Hey, I'll be a biker. I don't care. I'll be whatever. I'll be a donkey and go minister to the zoo. Whatever it takes. Amen? See, God will use you. Once you begin to operate in your function, then He begins to elevate in certain levels. Certain places. Why? Because He knows you won't leave your function and operation that He's called you for. But once you begin to leave that, He pulls you back so you can come back to your first love and your first works and get that vision again. Everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. Go to 1 Corinthians 4. No. Go to Ephesians 4. We'll go there for a minute. Is everybody all right? Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 4. You know, everybody says, Lord, I want to do your will. Hallelujah. Bunch of comedians here tonight. Operating in your function, huh? Praise God. All right, let's just go to Ephesians 4 and verse 7. But to each one of us, what? Grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift or talent towards us. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men or talents. Now this he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. In other words, hell. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be what? Apostles, some prophets, evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints and for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Works of ministry, measures of gifts and talents. That's what it's all about. Operating in your function. See, when you begin to deny your talent or your gift that God has given you, it will move you out of your function because they operate together. God doesn't send a doctor to do surgery with someone with a baseball bat. Amen? He doesn't send a mechanic out to change your tire with a basketball. He gives you the gifts that are needed according to your operation. There are individuals that are knowledgeable and can comprehend certain things. There are teachers and mathematics and professors and so forth that God has gifted. Look at how many kids are gifted in music. Man, there are kids who've never read a note in their life and they get to the piano and jam, jam, jam. You know? The problem is they start jamming for the devil until the Holy Ghost fills them and their purpose, their vision now changes to bring glory to God. Now they begin to operate in their function and God begins to send them places. But many people who have always wanted to become involved in music begin to force to go learn and stuff and begin to force themselves because that's something they want to do instead of what God is leading them to do. Does everybody understand that? See, there's an area where there's something that you want to do, but God's not leading you to do it. And if you force and move the hand of God or force the hand of God in your life, which many people do, they operate out of their function. And they will not bear a good fruit. And they'll always go in a cycle. Because, see, people think because it feels good, it's God. Does everybody understand that? God is not the God of feeling, He's the God of truth. Oh, hallelujah. Go to 1 Corinthians 12. Your calling. Your function. We'll call this your function tonight. Your function. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verses 1. Would you read it with me? Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be a bonehead. Amen. I don't want you to be stupid. You know that you were Gentiles carried away by every dumb idol, however you were led. Hello, that was us when we were in the world. Well, feels good to it. If it pays enough money, I'll do it. Everybody else is doing it, I'll do it. No, that's not Daddy. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus a curse, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are what? Diversities of gifts, but it's the what? Same Spirit. That's a function, isn't it? There are differences of ministries, but it's the same Lord. It's a function. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Your purpose is to profit all. Amen? No matter what your function is, it may be administrative. Everybody's an evangelist who becomes a child of the Most High God. But there are offices of evangelism. Amen? There are offices of the body of Christ to be fulfilled. But everybody's an evangelist. Everybody's an intercessor. Everybody is a witness. And everybody is light. Everybody is a priest or priestess when you become a child of the Most High God. And those are offices that you always must are functions that you always must fulfill so that you can go on to your next level. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Let's see here. Okay. Luke 12. So you're involved now in training for reigning. Say, I'm involved in training for reigning. I'm going through Holy Ghost boot camp and officers training school. I'm willing to die and to serve. I want a new life, that which Christ has and predestined for me. Then I may fulfill His call and His function for His glory. In Jesus' name. Okay, you all confess it. You're all accountable now. Praise God. Hallelujah. In verse 42. No, I don't want to do that. In verse 42, Luke 12. Would you read it with me? Then Jesus said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in their what? Due season. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. What is he doing? He's operating in his function. He calls him a faithful steward. Hello. He calls him a what? Faithful steward. In other words, you are operating in your function and the things that God has given you like they're your own. But you never step over the boundary lines of pride thinking that they are yours. I get many people tell me, man, I have the gift of this. You ain't got no gift. You're giftless. It's the Spirit that has the gift. He's just using you. The Bible says the Spirit in you. You pray in tongues because the Holy Ghost is there. Not because you just can. You go out and tell the world, let me see you pray in the Holy Ghost. They probably spit all over you. And they won't know nothing. You know, when I began praying in the Spirit around my family and stuff, and you know, the world, man, when did you go to school? When I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. I'm in the school of the Spirit. How do you do that? I don't. Tongues is always running in me. I just happen to step in and let it fly out. See, because if you're really listening, you'll hear tongues running in you all the time. Because the Holy Spirit's always interceding. It's like a wheel. Do you ever see a water things that pick up water? A windmill? Thank you. Watermill? Hallelujah. A mill that picks up water and brings it over to the other side. Praise God. That's how it's always in you. See, the tongues is always running in you. You just choose to connect in, and then you go, Boraha Sita Kaya. But see, it's always running in you. So the gifts aren't yours, they're the Spirit's. You're just blessed to have the ability to yield to them. Hello. Okay, back to a faithful steward. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. What's he talking about doing? Operating in his function. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants and eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two, appointing his portion with the unbelievers. So, you know, he's talking about believers. Hello? And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with a few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. We must be good stewards. Amen? As you're faithful in your function, God will begin to expand your function. Amen? As you're faithful. Listen, go to James 1. Hallelujah. Now, you know the devil's not going to just sit back and say, oh, let me help you with your function. He's going to call a meeting of darkness. They're going to probably throw dice, see which one's going after you. Then they're going to cuss at one another and fight over you. And they're trying to get you to do all kinds of stuff, fornicate, you know, and every kind of thing. Lie, cheat, and whatever. What are they trying to do? Get you out of your function. Once you are in operating your function, the devil just not sit back and wait. He attacks. One of the things he tries to attack you with is religion. Hello. And that's associated with pride. Oh, look at you now. You're operating in your function. Oh, you little devil, you. Hello. He tries to promote pride on you. Amen? In James chapter 1 and verse 2, would you read it with me? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall in the various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. God will challenge you while you're operating in your function. He will even allow the devil to attack you. Hello? He can't touch you, but he can attack you. Why? Because he's trying to get you to another level. God will also expose certain things in you so you can leave the old behind and walk in the new. Hallelujah. Verse 4, but let what? Patience or endurance have its what? Perfect work. That you may be perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. In other words, you are operating your function. You are not fearful of what you don't have. You're using what you have. And you're faithful with it. You're not looking at anybody else's operation and function. You're operating what God has given you. Amen. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, it will be given to him. So, you know, we need to have wisdom, don't we? Wisdom tells you what to do with knowledge. It's not carnal wisdom. So know that you will go through various trials. He's going to allow the shaking to come to see what area of your life you are unstable. Because before he can promote you in your next operation of your function, you must be established in the first level and not be shaken. Amen? Too many people are trying to jump to the third level without completing the first. And they find out, you know what happens? They fall and go all the way back to the beginning. You can't jump ahead of God. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4. And then one more scripture, I believe. No, go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Then one more scripture. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because you're what? Your adversary. The devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It says, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Everybody goes through it. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have what? After you have suffered. He didn't say forever, no. Come on. He said, after you suffered a while, come on, if you've gone through, did you ever go through a car wash, see how your car gets beat up and cleaned up? Well, you go through the Holy Ghost car wash. Amen? You know, most people want things right now. I need it now. Well, that suffering is called delay. It's called a divine delay. God holds things back from you so you can die. But I need it now. No, you need him now. Hello. Say, I need him now. I am then. Let's read 10 again. That's a good one. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while. Hey, look at the next thing. Perfect. Establish, strengthen, and what? Settle you in your function. And to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Now go to chapter 4 and verse 7. Is everybody there? Are you okay? Glory. Would you read starting at verse 7 to 11? But the end of all things is at hand. Say it again. The end of all things is at hand. Say it again. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore be what? Serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for the love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Oh my God, how come you're doing it for him and not me? Because you ain't dead. And get your eyes off of everybody else and get them on me, says the Lord. And be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a what? Gift ministered to one another. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. He's operating in your function, isn't it? That in all things God may be what? Glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Praise God. Function in your calling. Let me share something with you. You must have a desire to do it. If you don't have a desire to do it, you won't. And one of the things that God will always ask you, He'll say, show me. He'll always say, show me. Lord, I see the vision. This is what I want to do. Good. Now show me you want to do it. He will challenge you every time. Show me. This is what you want. Show me. How obedient will you be with this? Will you fulfill what I asked you to do? Show me. Show me. How can I say that? Because He said it to me. When he said to me, Guy, do you want to get off of drugs and alcohol or do you want a new life? Of course, I figured I tried getting off of drugs and alcohol. It never worked. I said, I want a new life. You know what He said? Show me. And how do I show you? Show me. I checked into a detox. I didn't care what it was. I cleaned toilets. I did all kinds. I didn't care. I was honest with everyone. Yes, I'm an addict. I did this and I did that. Of course, I didn't expose all kinds of stuff, you know. I didn't want to frighten anyone. But I was honest. Show me. In other words, show me you're willing to do whatever it takes. Show me. You're not just going to get something. Let me tell you, you're going to get revelation and impartation as fellowship and prayer. God will direct you, but He will always ask you, show me. Lord, I really need this. I really need that. He's already got everything for you. Everything is available for you. But He's not going to give you a gun if you don't know how to use it. He's not going to give you a car if you don't know how to drive it. And what you have before He'll give you something better, you're going to have to prove that you can take care of the little that He's given you. If you're operating in your function, you better be faithful. Well, Lord, I really could use this money to go to school. Well, you haven't tithed in the last 2 years. How do you expect me to trust you with riches when you can't even give to my kingdom? Show me. Show me. I remember the Lord challenged me. He said, give me your first check. Of course, for me, it wasn't too much. I didn't get a check for 10 years anyway, so what's this one? Hallelujah. With great pleasure, Lord. I mean, the first thing I get in 10 years, and it's like, give me it. What? I used to get an allowance of $20 a week for my wife. She stopped because I used to give it away. Did you get those groceries? I said, well, no, honey, this person on the street really needed it more than we did. That's it. I'll go shopping from now on. Hello. God will always ask you, show me. Show me. Do you show up for fellowship? Show me. Do you come to Bible study? Show me all of these things you're asking me. Show me. You have to earn my trust. Show me. Amen. It's not because you did something once. You better be faithful what God has given you to do and to complete what He's asked you to do. Or you'll go around the long way. Amen. Father, we thank You for Your word tonight. We are honored and blessed. And Lord, again, we take opportunity, we repent for every area of not fulfilling our call. Lord, forgive us for everything we've touched unclean. Forgive us for rebellion and rejecting Your call. Forgive us for not accepting Your challenge. Lord, I pray for each and every one in this room, Lord, that they were operating in a function that You've called them. That they will understand that they've been predestined and that You'll grant them vision. That they'd be willing to lay down their life and come out of the religiosity of self-promotion, but become God promoters as children of the Most High. Lord, I'm asking that You'll visit Your people in this room. That You'll continue to fill them with Your Spirit. Visit them in dreams and visions and establish them for Your glory. that they'll have a desire to no longer want their own life, but want the life that you've predestined for them, knowing that this life is temporary, but your life is eternal. Lord, grant them the wisdom and knowledge and understanding and a desire to do your will. Protect the seed that's been imparted, and be glorified, my King, in Jesus' name.